As we gather on this joyful occasion, I ask you to remain standing for the opening part of our ceremony. And also, if you need the reminder, to silence your cell phones at this point to save any embarrassment. I want to begin by reading Scripture, Psalm 145, verses 1 through 4. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. Let us pray. God, we are here today, and amidst all the beauty and love that is here, we remember that thy presence is here as well. And we would have it no other way. Our desire is that all that is said and done today would redound to the glory of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How thankful we are to assemble on this occasion. And that mix of joy and emotion that is in our souls, we celebrate the occasion especially because it's built upon the grace of God as we see this couple stand before us, joining their hands together. We're so thankful that they're beginning on the right foot. We pray that you'll help everyone participating today, and we'll all leave here not merely remarking on what we saw and what we heard, but that God was here and his name was exalted. So give us help and tabernacle with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dearly beloved, we gather here in the presence of God to join together this man and this woman in the sacred covenant of marriage. Marriage is an honorable estate instituted by God, confirmed by the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ, and compared by the Apostle Paul to the mystical union between Christ and his church. God ordained marriage for the mutual society, help, and comfort that the one ought to have of the other, both in prosperity and adversity. For the orderly propagation of the human race, and for the avoidance of particular sins. Husbands and wives thus have differing but complementary responsibilities befitting God's purposes, not only to manifest glory to the living God, but also to cultivate a mutually fulfilling marriage as originally ordained. Husbands are instructed to love their wives sacrificially, even as Christ loved the church. Wives are instructed to submit to their husbands as unto the Lord. Both are to be faithful to each other, to assist each other in all good things, to heartily forgive each other their sins and shortcomings, and to love each other. Therefore, this covenant of marriage is not to be entered into rashly, thoughtlessly, or lightly, but reverently, soberly, and in the fear of God. And it is into this holy estate these two persons come to be joined. Who gives this woman to be married to this man?
Her mother and I.
As you remain standing, we're going to sing. If you have a copy of the order of service, Be Thou My Vision. We will sing all of the stanzas together. And I want you to think about the vision we all should have of our Lord Jesus as we sing these words. So when the music starts, let's sing all the verses, please. To have the father of the groom, Mr. Ozaki, come now and read the scriptures, 1 John 4, verses 7 through 21.
1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 21. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knowledge, not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Here is love, not that we loved God, but that He loves us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. if we love one another, God dwells in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. And we have known that and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Here is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fear is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loves not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God love his brother also.
Thank you, brother. Well, just before we proceed to the vows, I wish to bring a short address, or at least short in terms of our circles. At least I'll say that. Those who come here know what I mean. It's a wonderful occasion to gather for a wedding and to have the privilege of being invited and joining in the celebrations of a couple and a new family being brought together by God in the fashion that God has appointed in His Word. And last evening we were learning of the fact that this young couple first met in a chemistry class. And I don't think I was the only one who began to think, well, it maybe wasn't the chemistry that the teacher had in mind that began in that classroom that day. But I don't believe you two really started seeing each other officially until just after the lockdown started. This was around May 2020, wasn't it? So while the world was being pushed apart, these two were being brought together in a fashion. I don't know all the details of that, but it brings us to this point today, 3 years on, and we're very thankful for it. Before I say anything else, I want to present to you, and the bride has to carry this the rest of the day. I'm only joking, of course. this is a Bible, and it's just a signal. It's a token. I want you both, I know you know this, and we've discussed it, but I want your entire future to be done in the presence of God and according to His Word. And you know that. And I just trust that this Word will be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. And in every decision, because of your daily walk with God, He will make a way for you and guide you. So you'll get this later, of course, but I just want you to know and signify on this special occasion as well. Following on from the reading of Scripture, 1 John 4, I want to stay with the theme that has been put before us already. And my mind was drawn for this occasion to one of my favorite texts, and I've told this publicly to this congregation where I pastor, though I don't think I've preached on this text directly, found in John 13, verse 1. We're told in that passage, in that verse, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." I want to dwell on that just for a few minutes. As John records the events leading up to the cross, he brings our minds to an event, the Passover, that surrounded that occasion when the Son of God offered himself without spot unto God. And it was at the Passover. And the Passover signified to Israel for centuries that their salvation was all of grace. That what they had, God had procured, God had provided. They didn't have it by their own merit. And every time they would come together every year and think upon Passover and its significance, they would remember, our deliverance is all of God. It's all of grace. You both know that. You stand here professing believers in Christ. It's all of grace. And as it has been in the past, so it shall be in the future. All of grace. But the remark that is made by John, Jesus knowing that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world, it tells us, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And I want to remark on that, as I say, just for a minute or two. First, to note with you in this love, its pre-existence. Having loved. It tells us that the love happened sometime prior to this occasion. The question then is when? When did Jesus begin to love these men? Did he begin to love them when they followed him? Did he begin to love them slightly before that? Or maybe as they walked with him during his ministry? When did he begin to love them? Well, we had it read for us. We know that he loved them first, long before they ever loved him back. He loved them. And in Jeremiah 31, verse 3, we're told, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." So those who have been drawn into a relationship with God, that happens because there's a love pre-existing that experience. We know of this in salvation. He loved us first, and he drew us onto himself. Well, your relationship isn't quite the same. At least I don't think in any way like that, that one of you was loving for eternity before the other one. We know that's not the case. But we think of the covenantal nature of it. At some point, the Lord Jesus loved these people. And I'm of the persuasion, based on Scripture, that this love began in what we can only term as eternity past. Way back, before the world ever was created, God loved a people. This people he sent his Son to die for, to be the propitiation for our sins, as we had it read. And he loved them. And that covenantal love is in some way helpful for us to think about. It's not just a passing love. It's covenantal. It's commitment, which is what is happening here between you both today. Also note its particularity. Having loved his own. He loved his own. His own people. A specific people he set his love upon. We know that the Father loved the people and gave them to the Son. We're told that the Father hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. The language is limited. It can't tell you all the story. Being loved for all eternity is something difficult to put into language. But from all beginning, that's one way of putting it. There's never been a time where they were not chosen to salvation. And in Acts 13:48, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. So Christ's love, he came for a particular people. He came and said, they're my people. I'm dying for them. They belong to me. And in a similar fashion, today sets a marker. There are no others. That's it. There are no others. This is a particular love between you both. You love your parents. You love your family. You love others. You will love others. Yet, the scripture that we had read reminds all believers that we are to love all other believers. But the love that is here is particular. And we know that, as we've gone over, that this love is reflective, marriage love is reflective of the love between Christ and His church. It is a distinct love. So your love is distinct. It is different. And it's a lesson for us then that all other possibilities are off the table, and it doesn't matter what happens. This is it until death by God's grace. It's patience as well, the patience of this love. Having loved His own which were in the world. I like that. Because it tells us that He doesn't just love those who are perfected in heaven. The flawless ones. The ones who no longer sin. Oh, He loves them. But He loves His own which are in the world. As they're still in the world. And this passage, John 13, will tell us of Peter, with all of his effort, "Though all betray thee, I won't." But we know he denied three times. And they all forsook him and fled. And so, at the head of that event, we're told, Jesus loved His own which were in the world. Despite that, knowing that they would do that, still He loved them. And so these stumbling, doubting, failing disciples were loved. And it is a reminder to us, a reminder to you. You will stumble. You will not always show the affection you should. There will be times, and I say it here publicly, you both need to go and just read 1 Corinthians 13 again and understand what love is. And just say, and put your name in where charity is. You know, charity never faileth. Well, that's not me. I put my name in there and you feel like you feel. Well, it's a reminder of how much growth is still needed in us all. So Christ keeps loving His people, and you're to keep loving one another. Patience for one another in shortcomings. It's important because they're going to be there, as you will discover if you haven't already. Micah 7, verses 18 and 19. "Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy. He will turn again, He will have compassion upon us, He will subdue our iniquities, and Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." And there will be times you'll have to do that. You have to take what has been said or done and cast into a sea, never to be dug up, put away, seeing the mark of the blood of Christ washing away the words of repentance, reconciliation, and saying, it's been done, it's been said, it's under the blood, we're in Christ, we belong to Him. Let's show patience one to another like our Lord Jesus shows to us. Then also it's perpetuity. He loved them unto the end. That's why we're here, isn't it? You're signifying we're doing this to the end. The end of our earthly existence. We're here committing one to another until death do us part. And that's serious. It's sober. It's also delightful. Think of it. What does it require for someone to say, I'm going to do this with you? That's a great token, isn't it? Of encouragement, a signal of trust, and an expression of, let's do this. Let's do this. By God's grace, let's do it. Let's live and love until the end. And this is what Christ has done. He loved them on to the end. Even whenever sometimes it didn't feel like He loved them, that love was still there. Sometimes you'll struggle to express that love, but make sure you try your best to show it. Sometimes we will fight against love to our folly as well, just as we do with the Lord, but let it be love to the end. So, pre-existence, particularity, patience, perpetuity, this is the love of Christ. Let it mark your love as well. Let it be governing in your own heart. Love each other to the end. And these vows that we are about to share in the presence of everyone here, know that you have in Christ the model. And by God's grace, He will help you every day. May the Lord bless His word to you. We're going to stand together. Rejoice, the Lord is King, is the hymn. When we hear the music, let us stand and sing to the glory of God. Be seated. And just before I go any further, that day will come when our Lord Jesus will return, and it's only those who are in Christ who will be gathered together to meet Him in glory. And so I want to take the opportunity, if you're here and you don't know Christ and the language that has been spoken already or sung doesn't make any sense to you, it's because it's language you don't know. You don't know it. It's language of God's love. It's language of salvation. The Bible calls it a new song. And that new song comes with new words, new lyrics. And every believer here knows it. And we want to live for His glory. Well, we come to this point, and I'd ask you both to face one another. The laws of our country lend their sanction to marriage if therefore anyone can show any just cause why these two persons may not lawfully be joined together in matrimony, let him now declare it or else hereafter forever hold his peace. I require and charge you both that if either of you do know of any impediment why you may not lawfully be joined in matrimony, you do now confess it. Yusaku, do you take this woman to be thy lawful wedded wife, to live together in covenant according to God's ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony? Do you promise to love her, serve her, honor her, and keep her in sickness and in health, in riches or poverty, and forsaking all others, commit yourself to her so long as you both shall live?
I do.
Marley, do you take this man to be your lawful wedded husband, to live together in covenant according to God's ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony? Do you promise to love him, obey him, honor him, and keep him in sickness and in health, in riches or poverty, and forsaking all others, commit yourself to him so long as you both shall live? Yusaku, you may now take the ring that you will place on Marley's finger. Just hold the ring for a moment and, looking at Marley, repeat after me. I, Yusaku, do take thee, Marley, to be my lawfully wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward,
to have and to hold from this day forward,
for better for worse,
for richer for poorer,
in sickness and in health,
to love and to cherish,
till death us do part. You place the ring on her finger and repeat the following. I give you this ring.
As a token and memorial.
That I have taken you to be my wife. Marley, you may now take the ring that you will place on your sacred finger in a moment. Just hold it for a moment and repeat after me. I, Marley.
Do take thee, Yusaku.
To be my lawfully wedded husband. To have and to hold from this day forward. For better for worse. For richer for poorer. In sickness and in health. To love and to cherish. Till death us do part. You put the ring on the finger and repeat this. I now give you this ring.
As a token and memorial.
That I have taken you to be my husband. Whom the Lord hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And I will ask the congregation just for a moment to be patient with us as we sign the marriage license, please. certain part you don't want to miss. For as much as this man and this woman have covenanted together in holy wedlock before God and in the presence of witnesses, and I declare them husband and wife in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Yusaku, you may now kiss your bride. Ladies and gentlemen, I now present to you Mr. and Mrs. Yusaku Ozaki.